Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
This week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and we're very happy you could join us here today. And before we get started, I just want to remind you that just because we may talk about a tax strategy or two, and maybe a private real estate placement opportunity, a syndication, that you should not go jump in to the pool until you've talked to your advisors. Your legal, your tax, your real estate advisors, maybe financial advisors, all the different advisors in your world, to make sure that they agree that you heard the information correctly and that we dispensed it correctly, I guess I should say. I'm not too proud to say that. We do what we can, right? But in any event, if you don't have such advisors, you're more than welcome to go to our website at BAPlannerShow.com, and towards the top middle of that page on the right side, you'll see two links that are relevant. You'll have one for forms that'll take you to our four steps to acquaint ourselves with your data, and if you'll at least fill out the first one, we can proceed, or you can proceed to schedule a call, which is the second link there at the far right, kind of the top middle-ish of the page, and we'll be happy to, having looked at your data, to take some time to explain how we might or might not be able to help you sync up. Or we can sync up to help you achieve your goals and objectives. And maybe some of your objectives are, you know, not for the immediate future, but maybe the near future. And I know a lot of people that are sitting on the sidelines right now in this real estate, commercial real estate world we live in. And all I can tell you is, you may be right, you may be wrong. It's just like when times are good, you know, there's still seems like half the buyers are buying something that won't necessarily make the money because it's working off of a flawed plan, a flawed pro forma. You may or may not be able to catch that unless you look at these transactions every day like we do, and we track rental growth rates and absorption and assorted other variables across, I don't know, 20 or so markets. So when we look at a pro forma, a projection on a new acquisition, we have a little bit of a background in understanding whether the assumptions are rational. And if they're not, or even if they are, we're going to point that out to you so that you have the ability to make better decisions. We're going to let you make the decision now of whether you invest or not. That's not what we do. We don't recommend. We help educate about the math metrics involved in each transaction that you may decide fits your objectives. Everybody's a little different. Some people are closer to the golden years, retirement, if you will, where they need to know that they've got a certain level of incoming cash every month. That would be cash flow. And others may be 5 to 10 years out from retirement, and they're not as concerned about whether they get the run-up in value in 2 or 3 years or next year, as the case may be. But they want it. They want it sometime over the next 5 to 10 years. And the beautiful thing about real estate private partnership syndications is that there are all types of projects in terms of their performance, and I should say their projected pro forma performance metrics so that we can help you understand what you're signing up for in each case and make sure that you're in agreement as to the timetable that's projected, etc. So anyway, now at this point we mentioned the beaplannershow.com. And for those of you that listen from week to week, you know that we discuss current news events that affect real estate, specifically the single-family and multifamily real estate pond that most of our clients swim in, or ponds, I guess you could say. And then we delve into some other topics like the tragic U.S. debt situation and the impact that that will continue to play in our day-to-day living, including our investment lives. And anyway, I've got another plethora of articles, I don't know, 8 or 9 new ones for the current week. And we did not have our Friday show 2 days ago because none of Houston had, or very little had, electricity. I think I read an article online, at least from this side of the world, that said Houston had 900,000 homes without power. And I assume that means pretty much the whole area, but it affected the radio station. KSEV was down, no power. And so we didn't broadcast on Friday, and I believe Thursday I did a replay. So that wasn't a current week show. But if you're hearing this, depending on which city you're in, it's the only show we're doing the week of May. I guess we should call it May 15 would be correct. So in any event, Phoenix or San Bernardino, Riverside, L.A., I can't remember which day of the week the show comes on, but it's over the course of 1 week we hit all the stations with the same show. So anyway, let's see here. We've got time. Let's go ahead and pick a couple articles or two. Let's see. This article, I think I've got the wrong date on this thing. Let's see here. What date should that be? Yeah, it was updated last week. It's a Kiplinger article. Should your 401k be eliminated? And let me fix the date right quick while it's fresh on my mind. And it was, let's see, May, it was updated last week, so let's say May 12th for purposes of the date that I put on the website. Let's see here. Whoops. I did the wrong one. Well, let's see. Here we go. So this concept is not something that I think is going to be, it's going to make some people happy. I don't know. It'll make people that complain about what a cop-out the whole 401k item is, and I'm kind of in that camp. I guess I've got my reasons as to why some 401k structures are good. And if you're using the self-directed model like we employ with our clients, I would tell you it's a totally different animal than the big company 401. And I don't know, a lot of people have trouble grasping that. We've got a couple other mentors on the air in Houston here that they don't seem to get it. They keep telling you that, you know, the 401 is a program where you pay it and it doesn't pay you, and they continue to ignore the self-directed 401k, or solo K is the marketing term that most of the custodial crowd uses, And they don't understand that you control that, and you control it as much or as to the same extent as if you took all your money out. But you know what you also control? I want you to listen very carefully. You control 100% of your current 401 when you do the rollover that we will help you with, instead of only having about 60% of the funds available to invest. And you might be questioning, well, where's that other 40% going? I tell you what, ask that to your mentor the next time you hear them say, oh, just cash it out. Rip the Band-Aid off. Pay the man. I've heard it many times from Self-Made Millionaires program. Ask him who's going to give you back 40% of your wealth or 32%, whatever it is. It's going to be added to the current year tax burden you already have, and in some cases that's going to shove you up over the 40% mark, not counting state of Arizona taxation or state of California taxation, or pick your state. It's all but about nine or ten of them, I believe, maybe 11. It's very few that don't have a state income tax. And so I don't understand why that message. I have spoken personally with folks that I've mentioned here today and explained it to them. They know very well wherever I speak, but for some reason they're not willing to pass that on to their members and make sure you understand that you have a choice. Do you want to expose your funds to tax and potentially penalty if you're under the age of 59 and a half and you don't undertake the Quadro technique, which we can help you with that as well? We'll use the Quadro. We just don't use it to avoid a 10% penalty. We use it to avoid the penalty and the tax until you're good and ready to pay the penalty and the tax. And that might just be on $20,000 a year that you need to take out to live, or whatever it is you need to fill the gap on what other income streams you have. And that's the beauty of doing the rollover currently, is you don't have to get slammed with a tax that takes away 40% of your family's net worth, because that's where most people in America, that's where the most worker bees anyway, that's where their wealth is bottled up. It's with their employer's 401k plan. And I know the folks that tell you to just rip the Band-Aid off, I know for a fact Self-Made Millionaire never had much of a 401 when he was running the hamster treadmill, as he calls it, going to his cubicle every day, and he has a very bitter taste in his mouth from that experience, apparently, because he keeps recalling it. Whether that's your experience or not, he doesn't seem to believe that anybody could actually have gratification out of, you know, being productive in a employee capacity. I tend to agree with him in some facets. I've been self-employed since I was 25 years old, but you know, employed by myself. And I don't look at this, what I do. I invest in these transactions, some of which that we speak about on the air. I also consult on a number of topics, you know, tax-wise, retirement planning-wise. If you're looking to get out of the Wokesville city in the U.S. you live in and maybe spend some time part-time living or full-time in Southeast Asia, like I do, I'll consult with you on that. I know where to go, and I know how to get there, and I know, for instance, in this city we live in Bangkok, Thailand, I know which direction you better be approaching the spot that you're going, whether it's a restaurant or a office building or whatever. A mistake in the city of Bangkok that simply means you got to go around the block can add an extra 45 minutes to an hour to your journey. So, you know, we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two, whether it's immigration issues, whether it's the new tax system that's been put in place here. We know ways to avoid or to minimize that tax on Westerners, and we're happy to consult on that front. And if you want to make a trip over here, we will be your personal concierge Either my wife and a couple of her associates or my friends around town. So for those of you that don't think you or didn't think you had a choice, oh, you've got choices, and there's a lot of good choices, not just in Southeast Asia. You can take a look in, you know, Europe, Greece, you know, maybe Italy, Portugal. There's assorted countries that make it very easy for us guys, us Western expats, to get a place to stay for a couple months or a couple years. You know, the U.S. passport is something that most Americans have no idea. They don't know what they're taking for granted. And I'll never forget here about a year ago, my 15 or then 14-year-old son, I'd been trying to impress upon him the value of his citizenship because, you know, he was born here in Thailand, but he's automatically a U.S. citizen. But he never – the kids, the mixed kids, don't want to be American until they get to about the end of middle school, and then they want to be American more than they want to be Thai. And anyway, he came to me one day and he said, "Papa, do you realize that with my U.S. passport, I can go to like 230 countries around the world and get in without any kind of visa?" And I don't know if that's a correct number of countries, but I know it's a big number. And I said, "Yeah, really, Stephen." And I said, "And how many countries can you get into with your Thai passport?" He said, "Well, about 32, I think he said, 32, 34. And, of course, they're all part of the ASEAN, the Asian group of countries, where they have reciprocity. You know, if we wanted to go to Vietnam, he doesn't have to get any special visa or, you know, Malaysia or assorted other countries. But anyway, well, listen, let's go ahead and take our first break, and we will circle back with more news discussions and be back momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
People always coming up to me and asking, "What's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it?" Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan@npross.com, Nathan@npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
This song, Bobby McGee, I'm just longing to be free. Take me away, I wanna be. Big dreams and fake dreams, and there are many just like me.
with big dreams and faded jeans.
Welcome back from that Dolly Parton interlude. What a national treasure we have there. We were just talking about an article. Well, actually, I didn't get to it. I got sidetracked with some talk about getting out of the U.S. If you're so inclined and want to start living part-time abroad, let me know. Happy to consult with you on my experience and try to help you figure out some of the pitfalls or some of the opportunities, I guess I should say, in the spots that I'm familiar with. Okay, so let's go back to that article that I'd started to talk about, the concept of should your 401k be eliminated to save Social Security benefits. Some economists argue that tax advantage retirement plans are not as beneficial as they seem. Well, that's probably not really an argument. I think a lot of us understand that until you learn how to use the self-directed model and then you combine that or tag team that with directing your investments into real estate private partnership syndications. And when you do that, you're basically in nirvana at that point from a tax perspective, and you may be, the potential is certainly there to be in nirvana from an investment wealth creation standpoint. If you look historically at how the multifamily real estate syndications have performed, it's one of the bright spots across the commercial real estate spectrum. But the bottom line is you can direct your funds, once we get them rolled over to the self-directed model, into real estate private partnership syndications, and then the real fun starts. Because at that point, you can undertake a Roth conversion and convert all or part of those investments from pre-tax 401 buckets into the Roth 401 bucket that's part of every plan that we put together. And the beauty of that is, in the context of these real estate private partnerships, is that you have to value those investments at their fair market value, which, to put it, compared to the investments that you might have had at Charles Schwab or Fidelity or UBS, you know, before you did the rollover to the self-directed model, the fair market value on the stock market is the quote you get at end of business each day. It's very cut and dry. There's no discounts for lack of marketability or lack of majority control or lack of professional management, or the fact that if it's if it were a piece of real estate, you'd get a discount for the fact that you may not be able to refinance when you want to, like we're going through right now with many properties because of the debt structure they chose foolishly in many cases two or three years ago, you know, the three-year bridge debt structure with 2 1-year extension possibilities at a cost, you know, 1% being the cost. That was a bad structure then, and it's a bad structure now, and yet you'll see many syndicators. I just looked at another couple deals this week where the syndicator, the sponsor, et cetera, is using a bridge loan structure, and they're talking about how that gives them more flexibility. They can sell or refinance in 3 years. They should be saying, no, we have to sell or refinance in 3 years. And look what that's got you lately. Look at all the syndicators that are handing properties back, and there's going to be a raft of them here in 2024 and into 25. So you really got to be careful when you see new transactions coming out. Stay away from the bridge debt. If that project is sound enough, it can get agency type, 10-year type financing. If it's not, they're going to be stuck with bridge, and I don't care how you want to spend it, how you want to sell it. A 3-year bridge loan is anything but flexible except for the lender. Okay, I agree. Very flexible for the lender. They can keep, you know, their loans recycling, get, you know, let another lender catch their cold, so to speak, if they've got a deal that's not performing according to the business plan, the syndicator hasn't been able to execute due to any one of a number of reasons. You know, there's a lot of occupancy pro formas that don't materialize. The debt structure they had, even though they may have purchased a rate cap up to a certain level, well, the rate cap has been busted through for a while now in some cases, and it just sucks the cash flow right out of the transaction. And you might say, well, okay, that just means we investors don't get our money back as fast. Well, no, it could also mean the property is not generating even enough rents to even pay the debt service. It's negative each month, and it may be 90% occupied, because when you've got an interest rate that started 11 clicks on the rate adjustment clock, you know, from 2 years ago, you've usually gone past whatever your rate lock was or your rate cap, and so now you're into some serious debt service that many projects did not anticipate. And so you want to be careful. But anyway, so back to this article. I got a little bit sidetracked there. Retirement savings, as we know, are essential for financial security, but data show that many people in the U.S. lack sufficient funds for retirement. Boy, is that an understatement. High health care costs, living expenses, and inflation make it challenging for many to save enough. Meanwhile, Social Security is facing solvency issue. Without reforms, the latest estimates, this is as of 3 weeks ago, I believe, maybe 4 weeks, when trustees report, the annual trustees report came out for both Medicare and Social Security. But without reforms, the latest estimates indicate future generations' benefits could be in jeopardy as early as 2035. Enter columnist Alicia Munell, director of the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College, and Andrew Biggs, senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. They propose some radical thinking. They propose abolishing tax-sheltered savings plans like 401s and IRAs to bolster Social Security. So it's basically a socialist approach, is what it sounds like to me. Why not just put another surtax on it like they did back in the 80s? It lasted for, I don't know, about 10 minutes before Congress repealed that. Their report, which has stirred controversy, boy, I'll say, spotlights disparities in retirement savings across income levels and raises questions about the effectiveness of current retirement policies. Here's more of what you need to know. What's wrong with 401k plans? Many people see tax-advantaged retirement plans as a useful tool to encourage saving for one's retirement and to provide a financial safety net. Contributions made to 401k plans reduce your taxable income since they are made with pre-tax dollars. And that is like a piece of candy that has poison going into your body, and it's going to shorten your life down the road, that statement. And I'll tell you here in a minute why, you know, the 401k is flawed. But in any event, supporters of these plans emphasize the importance of employers offering matching contributions to encourage retirement savings. And yet the entire 401k value proposition back in the 80s was to remove the retirement issue from the employer and put it on the employee's back by making, you know, they had to make contributions. And so, you know, if you may recall, any of you that had parents, and maybe even some of yourselves, if you're up in years, you may remember the type of plan we call a defined benefit plan, which pays you benefits based on life expectancy, based on the salary levels that you attained, et cetera. But they're very expensive plans from the employer standpoint, in terms of the employer being on the hook for maintaining those assets. They also urge the need to enhance these and other incentives to promote sound financial planning. An example of this, not sure I agree with this, an example of this is the Secure 2.0 Act, massive legislation aimed or passed by the U.S. Congress a couple years ago to encourage more people to save for retirement. Secure 2.0 significantly changes 401k, IRA, Roth, and other retirement savings plans. And I'm going to tell you, be careful what you wish for. You're getting more of the opium, if you will, directly in your veins, to where you're thinking, oh, well, gee, I can put more in. That's a good thing, right? I'm going to get a bigger deduction. You're going to get a deduction for a peanut. And when the clock strikes midnight later and you've got to start taking your required minimum distributions, coincidentally, the country's national debt will be up into the stratosphere. $54 trillion is what's projected in about 10 years, 2034. The current $34.5 trillion level, or 34.7 or 8, it goes up about $8 billion per day, I believe it is. Don't think it's per hour. It's per day. And just think about that. And we're running out of money. We'll be done with the remaining piece of the discretionary budget. We will exasperate it by the year 2028, 2029, somewhere in there. And basically, we're going to have cuts automatically applied to certain programs. And as an example, it won't happen in 2028, but the Social Security legislation already in place will cut the average Social Security paycheck by, like, for married filing joint by 23% to 25%, depending on the assumptions that you use with regard to just how bad it's going to get. So think about that. You know, your current check, if you and your wife collectively are getting $40,000 a year, you're now going to get 30. Work that math into your household budget, see if you like it, right? And so it's a big change. And again, that doesn't consider Medicare, it doesn't consider the IRMA premiums. Medicare's got its own timeline, and I believe it's just shy of 2035. It's about the same time as Social Security. And there's no good solutions on the table right now. There's talk, but there's not near enough of a bipartisan agreement on several of the strategies that are out there. But you can rest assured there's one thing that the math mandates, is your tax rates are going up. The tax rates are on sale right now. Think of it as a massive, probably anywhere from a 40 to 50% discount off of what they're going to be when we get out to much closer to that timeline when Congress finally says, oh, gee, you know, we've got a problem. There's a few of them now that get it. David Swikert, Republican from Arizona, has got some really good videos on YouTube that explain the dollars, the math involved, and, you know, he's sounding the alarm. He's not the only one, but he's got the best charts, I guess you could say, and he's very educated on the issue, and he's trying his darndest to get other congressmen online, other congresspeople, and the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget is a bipartisan think tank that's got a massive, they're doing a yeoman's effort on trying to educate the public and congressmen, congresswomen. And then the truthandaccounting.org is the other group that we like for these bipartisan reports on just how bad off our country is. And then the Truth and Accounting site has reports on the top 75 U.S. cities, and it's all but a handful that are in very bad straits. So most of them are like Houston, you know, where we're, I forget how many billion dollars in the hole we are, but it's Houston's got some major issues fiscally. And then the last group that we track is the Tax Foundation nonprofit that has significant data on deficits and tax rates and matters that feed into this. And but in any event, you know, I mentioned earlier, and the reason that I want to get you tuned in on the self-directed 401 is that when we invest our pre-tax funds, we move them from the big company 401 over to the self-directed model. And by the way, if you live in Texas and you're married, contrary to what your HR department may tell you, you are eligible to move your money, repartition your money in a 401 plan over to your spouse, and they can roll that money into a IRA or a 401 and avoid the 10% penalty if you're under the age of 59 and a half, and you'll avoid the tax at least until you start taking the money out. But even then, you'll only pay tax on the piece you take out each year. So it's not like ripping the band. There's no Band-Aid to rip off, to borrow the phrase from Self-Made Millionaires platform. And you take it as you see fit. And by the way, you can write yourself a check 2 days after you set it up if you care to. As long as you're willing and able to pay the tax, you've decided now's the time to start taking some of those funds out, you can do it. And, you know, once the court approves your qualified domestic relations order, which is the legal process we use to effect that repartition of the 401 assets, you're able to take those funds, and we can invest them without taking them. The self-directed 401, I want to be very clear about something that people, most CPAs don't realize this, even I'll go so far as to say that it is the only vehicle under the Internal Revenue Code that you personally can participate in that will let you invest in certain investments such as real estate, private partnership syndications, and you will pay zero tax on the gains. There's no income tax, there's no UDFI tax that your IRA will pay. Even your Roth IRA will pay tax if they invest in real estate, private partnership syndications. Generally speaking, now if they're working with a tax planner like us, we work with people that have Roth IRAs and traditional IRAs to help them minimize the tax. We've got a few strategies that'll help them do that, but they're not nearly as rich as the strategies for the Roth 401 account. And again, that's part of every solo K or self-directed 401 trust is my preferred term. It's part of every one that we help our clients execute or adopt. It's a proper word. And so you come, and when you apply the private company discounts, you will cut your tax in many cases by as much as 50% of what it's going to cost you to do if you convert to Roth while your money is tied up in Schwab or Fidelity or whoever. Because again, there you're talking about market-based values as opposed to private company investment values. And there's a sorted 20 to 25 different risk factors that we're able to utilize to adjust that fair market value. Let's do this. I'm well past the anticipated break time. Let's go ahead and take the last break now, and we will return back momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
No matter how much it cost, and I was gonna win. No matter how much I lost, grindstones and rhinestones have made up my life. But I shine like a diamond through sacrifice. I was gonna be rich. No matter how much it cost, and I was gonna win. No matter how much I lost, and I hope life will tell me, well done, my child. You've won your reward through.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be a Planner show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna warm it up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control and make the
okay, welcome back to the final segment of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And I'm going to move on to a couple more articles, fairly quick articles, and then I'll come back to this 401 discussion just because I want you to understand what some of this socialist logic looks like, because I got a feeling we're going to see a lot more. The gap between the haves and the have-nots is only going to get wider in America, as I see it. Again, it's just math, and you'll want to know that they're coming for you. If you've got a 401k or an IRA, they're coming for you. So anyway, we'll circle back to that article, if not today, maybe next week. But anyway, I wanted to mention a couple things. Fox Business had an article earlier this week. Let's see, this was on Wednesday, the 15th, this past Wednesday. Inflation increases 3.4% in April as prices remain elevated. And, you know, I think you've probably seen that news by now, although maybe not. But it eased slightly in April for the first time in months, a welcome sign for the Federal Reserve, even as prices remain uncomfortably high for millions of America. And the Labor Department said Wednesday that the CPI Consumer Price Index actually rose 0.3% in April from the previous month. Economists expected to see a 0.4% monthly increase. Prices climbed 3.4% from the same time a year ago, down from the 3.5% reading in March. But it's still higher than what we need if we're going to get some relief from the interest rates. But again, all these articles, by the way, and I should have mentioned this earlier, are out on our website. So rather than you having to go sift through the online data sources, we've already done that for you, at least on these topics. And again, baplannershow.com resources link up at the top navigation area, and then under that, news will get you to those articles. Okay, I've got another article that it's hard to believe it's true. It's the reason I put it out here this week. And boy, we can sympathize or empathize, either one, with the city of Fort Worth. The tallest building in Fort Worth sold at an auction here a week or two ago. 40-story tower was bought back by Pinnacle Bank Texas in an auction after the previous owners defaulted. This building was, let me think, I believe it was 1 million square feet. That sounds high, though. Hang on, let me get that for you. No, it was 1 million square feet. And do you know that it was bought back at auction? Now, again, the bank, I think, has the lender has the ability to put some tripwires on these auctions. I can't explain. I don't know how it works in Tarrant County. But in any event, the bid, it was a credit bid, which has something to do with the fact that the bank that bought it was the one that had issued the original debt. But the original debt was more, but it's still, I shouldn't say that. It was in the somewhere between 100 and probably 120 million. The building was sold 3 years ago for $137,500,000. It was bought back at this auction for $12.3 million. That's $12.30 a square foot. Now, again, I'm not sure. I mean, if somebody else had bid, you know, $12.4 million, would they have won the bid? I rather doubt it, but I don't understand exactly how this particular auction would have worked. But $12.30 a foot, are you kidding me? I mean, this is I don't know if it's a Class A. Let's see. It was built. Well, no, it doesn't say when it was built. but it sure doesn't look like it's a decrepit building, and it had some name brand tenants in it. Let's see if they've got some of those names in this article. Oh, General Motors Financial, Kimley Horn and Associates, Huckabee, Friess and Nichols. I think that's a big law firm. I may be wrong, but that's just that's hard to fathom. And I'm still trying to see when it was built, but it was 22% vacant last quarter. And in any event, it doesn't mention the year it was built, but that building couldn't be more than, I'm thinking, 25 to 30 years old just looking at it. And it's just amazing what's going on in the office space, commercial real estate. And it's probably a market you would do well to avoid on any syndications that you may be looking at. Although, again, don't forget, there's always somebody making money when other folks are losing money, for the most part, in the real estate business. It's not always true, because now these guys have to find a way to get the occupancy up. And when you add it to what they did on the first loan, they probably, again, I don't know how much of the $137 million purchase price was debt, but assuming there was a 20% down payment, that would put the loan back 3 years ago down to, 105, 110, somewhere in there, million. So now they're at one, if you add the 12.3, they're at 122 or so. So they still got to find a way to make money, and getting the occupancy up is the best way. It's like one of my real estate mentors used to say, there's not a better looking piece of real estate in the world than one that's got a rent paying tenant in it. And boy, I can attest to that. I've had some that didn't, and I tell you, the holding cost will kill you in that situation. Okay, we're close to the end of the show. I just want to remind you, if anyone wants to reach out, you can text me at area 713-581-0195, and or you can call me at that number. I'll do my best to get back to you, very quickly. And if I don't, send a message again. Sometimes I miss it initially. We have so many come in, and I don't do it intentionally. And I'd like to help you get whatever information you're seeking, assuming it's something that's off the cuff and doesn't involve research, et cetera. I'm happy to take some questions that away, but I want the forms. I want at least the first one, the client profile, so I know a little bit about you. Otherwise, the CPA ethics code won't allow us to consult with you or provide any type of advice. Anyway, well, we will be back on Thursday at 2 p.m. I'll be doing the show live in the studio there in Houston. So any of you that might want to get together for a lunch, feel free to ring me up, and happy to catch you while I'm back in town for 2 or 3 weeks. We look forward to this Thursday. Thank you.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.